Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, let's turn again to, let me see where I want to go, pick up, right at the end of the third chapter. We've been kind of stuck between the third and the fifth chapter of Hebrews for a while, but there's so much information here. And information, of course, we have to realize that the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew-speaking people or to Jews. And these Jews, most of them had made a profession of faith in Christ. But like if you've ever met Jewish believers, and I have over the years, they always want to express their faith in Jewish terms. You know, I went upstairs one day when Billy Myers was here, and he was just half Jewish. And he had one of my books, and everywhere it says God, he's changing it to Elohim. And everywhere, you know, Jesus, he's, you know. And I said, what are you changing that for? You speak English. Well, after a fashion, anyway. You know, but there, it's incredible that Jews are just kind of stuck in that we're God's chosen people. Well, the fact of the matter is, they really, except for using them as a nation to bring the law into the world and bring the Christ into the world, the Jew has no more advantage over anyone else with respect to salvation. Faith comes out
by hearing.
Hearing how? By the word of God. Yeah. Now, when we preach the word of God, the natural man doesn't understand it. No. That is, if we're dealing with any spiritual truth, they can understand the factual type things in the scripture of incidents and so forth, feeding of 5,000, feeding of 4,000. They don't believe it, but they can grasp that. But when it comes to spiritual truth, the natural man, what? Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And that contradicts just about everything that's taught in Bible college. When you go to, and I went to three different schools, and they're all the same with respect to personal evangelism. You have to win souls. Show me a chapter and verse where it says I have to win souls. You know, or to take the gospel into all the world and preach it, but only God can save souls. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so I can give forth the word of God. But I can't produce faith in anyone. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that does that. So, kind of interesting. Over time, there's very little difference between any of the denominations, and there's very little difference between, the difference sex in SECTS in the world, both inside and outside of the canopy of Christianity. They're all caught up in a way, what? That seemeth right unto a man. So what seems right? Because of the lie of the devil to Eve, what seems right? You be a good boy, and I'll bring you a candy bar from the market. You know, or something of that sort. You be a good boy and you can go to heaven. No, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. No one goes to heaven because of their life. You know, we go to heaven because, number one, of the birth, life, and death of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf. He had to become a man, or God had to become a man, so that he could be related to man, so that he could redeem man. See? And people scoff at the idea of a virgin birth. And they would make Mary to be a trollop, you know. But the fact of the matter is, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then when you think it through, you know, and there's so little of that. But when you think it through, you have to realize that in order for us to be to have a savior like a mediator, let's say you're going into negotiations between your company and your employees, they're talking about going union or something of that sort, yeah. But a mediator has to be able to satisfy both sides. It can't be pro-labor, and it can't be pro-manufacturer or management. Yeah. He couldn't mediate if he had a bias one way or the other, because a mediator has to be, what, unbiased, okay? So let's pick up reading here. I'm going to start again in the third chapter. I'll back up again to verse 11 of the third chapter. It says, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Now, talking about the Jews in times past, God gave them the truth, but they were a people like everyone else that thought or think they can have a right relationship with God based upon the lives that they lived. But that's the lie of the devil. You know, the lie was, Elohim, or God, doth know that in the day that you eat thereof. Well, there was a commandment not to eat of the tree. So how can you be like God by disobeying God? But Eve was deceived. And with Eve, then Adam was not deceived. Scripture very clear about that. He was not deceived. But when he ate of it, you ate of it. He's our federal head. So that's why we're all born, how? Dead in trespasses and sin. And your eternal destiny has absolutely nothing to do with your personal life. It has to do with the Spirit of God causing the Word of God to be presented in your presence, and the Spirit of God then quickens or makes alive the Word of God to you so that He gives you enough faith to believe that Christ died for your sins. Now that's square one, you know. And some people don't go much beyond that. But we're told to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the same token, we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more. You look what's going on in this country right now, what's going on in Israel and the Middle East, and we've seen things in the past that looked like it was maybe getting close, but this world is classic screw-ups all the way, yeah. And people who talk about faith don't know what they're talking about. It's most of what happens in the churches is sentimental appeals. You know, rather than preaching the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and that Christ was born of a virgin so he could be a man, but a man without a sin nature, so that he could live his life as a Jew under the law and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and fulfill all righteousness so that he could offer himself as a ransom for sin. Because a mediator is, you know, if you think about it, it's very, should be understood. If you have a mediator that favors one side, you're going to get rid of that guy. You have to have a mediator that can be fair to both sides. So as Jesus, the God-man, you know, Jesus represents the human family, represented the human family when he went to the cross of Calvary and bore your judgment and mine. You know. So when he bore that judgment, you know, that satisfied God. Because the scripture says, without what? Without the shedding of blood is no remission. What is a remission? You get a bill and it says, please remit. That means they want money. Well, money won't take care of our sins. The price for sin is the shedding of blood, and it has to be perfect blood. It has to be from a mediator who is totally without sin. Well, anybody born naturally to Adam is going to sin naturally, you know, because we're born with that sin nature. So as we go on here, it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness, it says, of sin. But if we could read it in the Greek, as we've seen it many times before, it's not sin, it's the sin. So it's sin in the singular with the definite article. What does that mean in any language? If you have a singular thing with a definite article, you're talking about one thing. Yeah. So it's the sins of the whole world that he paid for. But the deceitfulness of the sin was that the serpent pointed at the tree and got Eve thinking in terms of the tree. And he promised her, well, the day you eat thereof, you shall be like God. Now, what are all the religions of the world based on? Man's morality. What is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's a representation of man's morality. Can it make you right before God? No, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So he says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the sin. In other words, think about it. The whole religious world, plus most of what's called the truth under the canopy of Christianity, is all wrapped up in personal goodness. They don't seem to read the verses in Scripture that says, you're dead. You go down to one of the cemeteries in Eugene, knock on the headstone, quit that drinking in there. Or, I saw you ogling that girl, or whatever, you know. No, they're dead. And so the dead can't sin. Yeah. Now, we as believers, we're born out dead. So we can't do righteousness. So any concept that comes from any religious system in the world, including most of what's called Christianity, they get that mixed up. And they want to get your life all involved in your salvation, you know. And they teach some of the most outlandish things. While I was in Bible college, we had to fill out a Christian service report. Yeah. You know? And on that report, how many souls did you win to Christ this week? Well, let's see, I worked 40 hours and I was in school 40 hours and I did get a little bit of sleep. None. But if you put none on there, they're going to expel you. So they force you to lie to them. You know? And I had no problem at all. Oh, whatever number you want. You know? You say, well, that's bloody dishonest. Well, it's bloody dishonest asking the question in the first place, because not one person in this room has ever saved a soul. We may have been responsible for the testimony going forth from the pulpit, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so we're involved in it. But if everyone that you love could be saved by your actions, all of your loved ones would be saved. But in any family, are all of them? You know? So we pray for them, and we look for opportunities. Sometimes it makes us bloody, you know, like we're a failure, that we can't get them saved. But saving is God's job. And our job is to make sure there's a testimony, so that we have this church on River Road, so that the gospel can be preached here, so that it can be recorded and sent by CDs or to various places, or go online and listen to them. Now, just the fact that it's there doesn't mean anybody's being saved because of it. But somebody may say, there's a message I want you to listen to. And if you can get them to listen, they can listen to one of our messages, and the Spirit of God can use it to quicken it to their heart. That means make it alive. Now, the day I was saved, it was a year after my dad had died, and Mom mentioned a number of times that she was going to church in Bellflower, and I'd tell Joanne, well, that's good. She needs that. We look at faith as a crutch. That's the way the world looks at it. It doesn't make any difference what you believe as far as the world is concerned, that you believe something. That's the way the world thinks. But no, Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he was either the most colossal fraud and liar the world has ever known, an egomaniac, or he was who he claimed to be. He's God the Son of God, very God of God. So it says, but exhort one another in verse 13 daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the sin. The sin is the idea that you can have a right relationship with God on the basis of your morality. Now, how does that work? Is it better to do good than to do evil? We'd all agree, yes. But is there any one of us that does good all the time? No. So that negates goodness for a relationship with God. We can't produce it. So Christ came into the world, fulfilled the law, fulfilled all righteousness. And the scripture says, without the shedding of blood is what?
No
remission, no payment. So the only person who could make that payment is God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So we are made partakers of Christ if or since we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Greek, like English, there are words, if, and it may not be so, but if, and it's true. We have construction like that in the English language. They also had it in the Greek language. So if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's salvation. We can't do it as a self-determined will. The Spirit of God gives us that determination, because otherwise the natural man, he doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. So God is the only one that can save souls. We're told as a church, take the gospel into all the world, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the actual faith to believe the Word of God comes only from God. So all of the pressure that I felt when I was going to school, I'll put it this way. Right now I weigh 160 pounds. When I graduated Bible college, I weighed 125 pounds. Joanne, I weighed 10 pounds more than Joanne. She weighed 115. It wasn't that we didn't eat and things of that sort, but you're burning the candle at both ends. And so, you know, I'll have to tell you a story. While I was in California before we went back to Missouri, I worked as an electrical inspector for Douglas Aircraft. And I was checking the A4D aircraft, Navy aircraft. And it was a slow night. There wasn't a lot to be done. And this one guy was at the inspection counter, and they were Indian wrestling, and he was beating everybody. You know. And I said, "Do you mind if I try?" And he looked at me, you know, because I weighed about 125 pounds then too. But he looked at me and kind of chuckled. And so we got there, I met him. I felt him relaxing and put him down. Now, oh, you talk about one. If he could have killed me at that moment, he would have. I mean, he was so embarrassed by the fact that the skinny little guy put him down. See, that was just luck. Let's do it again. Did it again, did it exactly the same way. Bam, you're down. I don't think he ever spoke to me again after that. Anyway, let's continue on. For we are made partakers in verse 14 of Christ. Yeah. There is something about our relationship with the Lord that we as believers can never deny him. We may get backslidden. We may quit going to church. We may never really talk about our relationship with the Lord. We can do all those things, but we can't deny him. The Spirit of God who indwells us won't allow us to deny him. The natural world, the unsaved world, they can deny him, but we can't. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What is the beginning of our confidence? Christ, who is God, became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled the law, and died a ransom for sin. And because then he rose from the dead, and the scripture says, because he lives, well, we shall live also. So salvation is not at all based upon conduct. And in the same vein, neither is Christian living per se. Why? What does the scripture say about you? The moment that you believed on Jesus Christ, what'd you do? Well, you weren't conscious of it, but you died. You died to sin. That doesn't mean that you can't commit sin, but to the judgment of sin, you're dead because Christ paid for your sins. See, that's our position. So, you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, you were raised with Christ, and in this life, to walk in newness of life, the newness of life is the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. So we can function in the things of the Lord, but only by the power of God. You know, preaching, teaching, just talking to somebody about the Lord. It can be amazing how much you will remember when you're put in a situation where you can witness to somebody when you don't think you know very much. You know. But if the Spirit of God's working, verses that you haven't thought of for a long time will come into your mind. And you'll give a testimony. And the Lord may use it to save that soul. You know. Because faith comes out. By hearing, and you're telling forth the truth. Can we select who we can save? No. Can we make sure that everyone we talk to is saved? No. It takes the Spirit of God and the Word of God to do that. Our job is just to be faithful. What are we called? Witnesses. You know, a witness just testifies of what he has seen or experienced, okay? For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And in other words, the if there it really should be a sense. It's if and it's true, okay? In Greek, there's a couple of different words for if, but if and it's true. So what if and it's true in English is since, okay? So while it said today, you know, I lost my spot here. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now, what was the provocation? God spoke to the nation of Israel after they came out of Egypt, and remember how rebellious they were with each judgment of each of the false seven gods in Egypt. Yeah. And every time God brought a judgment upon the Egyptians, and Pharaoh would increase the burden on the Jews would tell Moses and Aaron, stop it. We were better off before. Really? Yeah. And so he goes on to say, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. That is in the nation of Israel. The Jews were given the entire gospel message, but it was given in shadows and types through the sacrificial system. So Old Testament Jews were saved by faith in Jesus Christ. They didn't know him by that name, other than the fact that, you know, Yeshua, which would be the equivalent of Joshua, which is the equivalent of Jesus, okay? So he speaks of that. So he goes on, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. In other words, of those Jews that came out, a large number of them provoked God. And the way they provoked God, when God gave them the opportunity, he delivered them from Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. And like so many churches, now that you're saved, you couldn't do it before, but now you can. Is that true? That's absolutely false. None of us can live to the standard of God's law. And all you have to do is put yourself under it for a little while, and you find yourself condemned. Yeah. But I'm not condemned. Christ paid for my sins. Well, then quit trying to do it yourself. Yeah. So he goes on and says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Why were the Jews in the wilderness for 40 years? Unbelief. But you say, they expressed great faith when they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. That was great faith in themselves. No. That had nothing to do with the will of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and by the law, therefore by the deeds of the law. How many people are going to be justified?
No.
Zero. No. Therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified where? In God's sight. Lots of people are self-justified. You know, the whole religious world, you know, both inside and outside of the canopy of Christianity, are all wrapped up in their personal good works. But all those good works are going to do for them is send them to hell. You know, because the way into heaven is not by works. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to what? God's mercy. That he saved. Why mercy? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So he goes on, for with whom was he grieved 40 years? Now we're talking about, you know, all the Jews came, the older ones began to die off while they were in the wilderness, and the young people were passively covered by the, so that they went into the wilderness. And as the old folks died off, the young folks picked up right where the old folks left. Yeah. They too thought they could keep the law. But they were rebellious people. Rebellious because God said you can't. No. And they said, oh, but I can. And that's basically where the whole world is. Every religious system in the world is based upon what man can do for God. And most of what is called Christianity is unfortunately tied into that same lie. The only way we can please God is to do what? Without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please Him. Now, faith is not works. So anything you do, you may do it because of your faith, but we're saved by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. So he goes on, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So that was a large portion of those people. The older ones died off. Yeah. God had showed them salvation in the Passover lamb. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. They came out of Egypt. That was the last of the gods of Egypt, the firstborn. So the firstborn in Pharaoh's household was a god. The firstborn in Egypt is a god. Yeah. And so that's where they had their trust. So let us therefore fear as we come in. Well, let's back up. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, verse 18, but to them that believe not. What was it they didn't believe? They didn't believe they were sinners. If you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. So are you going to say, I need a Savior, if you count yourself sinless? No. That's why the religious systems of this world, and most people just naturally think they're good enough if there's a heaven to gain. I'm better than the average, blah, blah. But they don't realize God demands absolute perfection, which could only be supplied by God Himself. That's why God became a man through the virgin birth. So let us therefore fear, chapter 4, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, if you have to keep the law, are you at rest? No, you're working. Now, then do we as Christians have to work? Well, we've been given some things to do by faith, but God counts us to have died with Christ, to have been buried with Christ, and to have been raised with Christ, and to already be present with Christ in heaven. So you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So all of the emphasis in the three schools I went to about living, holy life, somebody see your good life and want Jesus as their Savior. That's all just so much spiritual bull, okay? So, verse 2 of the 4th chapter, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. How was it preached to the Jews? In the sacrificial system. When Moses went to the mountain, got the law, he also got the sacrificial system. Why? Because the law condemns, but the sacrificial system provides the solution for the condemnation. And it's not in bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer that it's done. Those were merely representative things that the Jews could do. But it's faith in what they represent. And they, if properly understood, each of the sacrifices represented Jesus Christ in some aspect of His person and His work. So in the Old Testament, Jesus basically said, I am the way. He wasn't on the earth yet, hadn't been born of a virgin yet. But it's all promised. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but how? But through Him. Okay. Pretty simple. But man can't get away from that tree that I've been writing about. And I had a hard time with it too, because you try to find something good in man's morality. But there is absolutely nothing good in man's morality. All that man's morality proves is that you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when Adam ate of it. So you're a sinner in need of a savior, see? And you can't be justified by what you do, because you have to do it perfectly, and you're born imperfect. You're born dead in trespasses and in sin. So he goes on. Let's pick up at 2 again. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. What? The Jews that came out of Egypt? Only a handful of them were actually saved. Most of them were steeped, like they are today, in their own self-righteousness. Okay. So, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? It says faith, because the translator didn't translate the definite article. But it's faith in the singular with the definite article. It's the faith. What is the faith? It's the personal work of Jesus Christ in behalf of sinners. So what does the scripture say? It's the way into heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? Saved. Well, I thought I had to quit drinking. No. I thought I had to go into dances. No. You may have some things in your life that would be better without. That's a choice you can make. But it doesn't make you one iota. I'll say it in Greek, we say iota. It doesn't make one iota of difference. Iota is the little I in Greek. Okay? So, not being mixed with the faith and them that heard it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. So, he's talking to these Jews who have believed, and he's saying, you're at rest. But the Jews had a tendency to want to continue in the law. And I could bring up Billy again. Billy wanted to think in Jewish terms, even though he professed faith in Christ. And that's why he was upstairs one day changing all of the words for God into their Hebrew form rather than their Greek English form. And I said, why are you doing that? And he didn't have an answer, but he stopped. For them anyway. But trying to make something special. Yeah, God used the Jews, but most of the Jews went to hell. Because what did they say in his public ministry? We will not have this man to reign over us. Well, if you won't have him to reign over you, you're going to hell. Okay. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Everyone in this room, as I look about, you're all saved. You don't have to do one thing to keep your salvation. Are the things that you can do by faith with the gifts of that the Spirit of God has given you? Absolutely. But whether you do them or don't do them, cannot change your salvation. You have eternal life, and you shall never perish, and God already counts you to be in heaven with him. So how certain is it? It's as if it's already happened, because in the judicial reckoning of God, it has. And so much judicial truth is lost as people try to teach the Word of God. We have to understand that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Okay, that's me. Now, for me to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so when I was able to do that by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I had faith in Christ, and all of my sins, past, present, future, were all counted to have been paid for on the cross of Calvary. So, like from the movie, the one we watched the other night, the three guys that escaped from the, that escaped from the,
Old Brother
Waratah. Old Brother Waratah, yeah. You know.
We're in a tight spot.
Yeah, I lost my point, but yeah, I don't sin anymore. I used to sin. Well, you still do. If we should say, present tense, if we should say that we have no sin, what?
Deceive ourselves.
The truth is not in us. We're deceived, and the truth is not in us. Okay. For we which have believed do enter into rest. The average person that calls himself a Christian, do you see much of them being at rest? They don't rest in their salvation. They're always worried about this or worried about that. That's because they've never been taught properly. But if you truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're already in heaven. And you died when Christ died. So if you died when Christ died, and that was 2,000 years before I was born, all of my sins are under His blood. Therefore, I can't be charged with any of them because they've already been paid for. They were paid for long before I was born. You know, it took a point in time for me to believe, just as it took a point in time for you to believe. But we need to look at things from God's perfect plan of salvation. And what good would it do to take people such as we and say, okay, I'm going to die for you, but just once. Now you got to keep yourself safe. And that's what most of the so-called Christian world teaches. Pentecostal movement, one of the largest movements, you know, they can come to death and they don't know whether they're saved or lost. Well, if you don't know, you're lost. It's just that simple. You know, it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe. And, you know, I think about my dad. There wasn't anything in his life that would indicate that he was a believer. But after Mom had those two accidents, Dad said to Mom, you know, Hazel, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. You know, 21 years of nothing. You know, they left church because there was a fight in that church, and Dad said, I'm not going to go to church and fight. And no matter what happened, you know, and a lot happened, but no matter what happened, my dad set his mind. But then after that, when Mother had those two accidents, it finally dawned on him. Didn't dawn on him when I had rheumatic fever. Didn't dawn on him when I had an emergency appendectomy when I was 4 years old. Didn't dawn on him when I broke my collarbone when I was four. Didn't dawn on him when I had rheumatic fever or any of those things. All of those things were love letters. Willard, get back in church. Yeah. And so God brings things into our lives to change our mind. Yeah. Because He loves us. And then, you know, anyone could tell me anything about my dad, and from his life, I would say he wasn't saved. But that statement, you know, Hazel, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. That can't be made by an unsafe person. No. And so I know, you know, though he didn't live his life as a Christian, I know I'm going to see my dad. You know, that's not, you know, a sentimental notion. It's just the truth of the Word of God. Well, we got 2 minutes. Okay. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So you don't have to fret about a thing. You're at rest in Christ. Now, I preach twice a week. Eric preaches twice a week. I used to preach four times a week. Do all of the, all the secretarial work and all that type of thing that needs to be done around a church. Mowed the lawns a couple of times a week. All kinds of stuff. If I'd see a piece of paper in the parking lot, I'd always pick it up. But all of that was just because this is where we preach the Word of God. We have to keep it nice, okay? But does that add any brownie points to me? No. I willfully and gladly get it, because I was here to do it, and all of you are off working, okay? For a long time, I worked too until the Lord said, it's time to slow down a little bit. Dale, you're going to have a heart attack. Okay, let me read to verse 8 and we'll stop there. For he spake in a certain place in verse 4 of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. So in 6 days, God created, or recreated the earth, really, is what happened in those 6 days. The original creation, we don't know how long that took to make. But the recreation of the earth was 6 days, okay? So the earth represents what? It was created as God would have it. Adam was. And then because of Lucifer and then Adam's sin, it was put under judgment. So it's no longer as it was. And we see things happening, moving on towards the latter days. And believe me, I thought back in the 80s that the Lord was coming very soon. And Brother Stewart said to me at the time, it's not bad enough. You're watching the nightly news? We're getting there, folks. Let me finish reading this. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, or since they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. So those of us who believe, the moment we believe, we're in the rest of God. We're counted to be present with him in heaven. There's not one work that we have to do. But he gave us things to do. He had go into all the world and preach the gospel. No one individual can do that. So it's a collective thing as a church. And this place again, seeing therefore it remaineth in verse 6, that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Why? Because they said they could keep the law. God brought them out of the land of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. And Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. But they chose law instead. And the church has done the same thing. That's why I've been writing so much about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's nothing good in that tree. That's a sense of right and wrong. Many of the things that are in it, nothing wrong with them. But the whole is a mess. And the deceit of the whole is that it will make you like God. And that's where the religions of the world all operate. No, we need a Savior. Christ died for us. And now we're dead. So our lives are out of the picture. But the just are to live by faith. And the law is not of faith. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. So we've been told to do what? Preach the word. Be instant or diligent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with what? All longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and we're just about there. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There was a day in Eugene when I first came here. You could find the gospel in a few places. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. But it's less and less and less. And the nation as a whole is, you know, it's, I can't think of the right word, so I won't try. But it's just satisfy the flesh no matter what. You know, if it takes tattoos to do it, get tattooed. If it takes a ring in your nose to do it, put a ring in your nose. If it's shaving all your hair off, shave all your hair off. You know, all the crazy things that people do now. In the past, we'll, what is wrong with that idiot? You know, I'm not judging anybody. You're going to do it whether I say anything about it or not. Okay. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. What was the unbelief of the Jews? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All they had to do is look at themselves in Egypt, and they would never have made that. But they didn't see themselves as they actually were. And the people in this world don't see themselves as they actually are. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do what? Harden not your heart. Well, if you tell a person that thinks they're good that they're a sinner, they're going to be ready to punch your lights out. You know, I've experienced it many times over the course of my ministry. People get angry when you tell them that they need a Savior. You're not putting them down. You're offering them eternal life. You know, but they don't take it that way. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, and David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. In other words, don't go back to law after you've been saved by grace. For if Joshua, that's the word it translated Jesus and Joshua spelled exactly the same in the Old Testament Hebrew. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And with that, how many songs do we sing making Canaan heaven? Canaan is not heaven. The Jews were, well, they were fighting idolaters, killing idolaters, till the place that they joined up with the idolaters and intermarried with them and became idolatrous. You can't do that in heaven, folks. So on Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast a wishful eye. There's nothing in Canaan that I want. You know, people have made Canaan to be heaven, and it's not. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, and that such as we, sinners, have salvation, not because of anything that we've done, but because you gave us the faith to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And we're secure in that faith because you gave it to us, and we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is far better. We praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.